over.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Stoneface Films Podcast, which will be with you momentarily. But first, we'd like to tell you about the lovely, lovely people who brought this episode to you. White and Green. This is the 100% organic, fair trade, luxury cotton company from my personal, very good friend, Rebecca, who is a dynamite lady, started this company with her family down in Wicklow. I highly, highly recommend these guys. They are one of the world's first organic, fair trade cotton bedding companies with a debut range that consists of beautiful bed linen. I can speak from experience. Unbelievably soft bed linen, cotton throws, baby blankets and scarves in a variety of classic colours. They use the finest organic cotton grown ethically in India, 100% fair trade certified, guaranteeing safe labour practices and fair wages for all of their farmers and workers. Go to whiteandgreen.ie/stoneface, and when you do decide to purchase, and I highly recommend that you do, use the promo code STONEFACE. Give you 15% off your first order. Cannot recommend these guys highly enough. Treat yourself with some White and Green sheets. I was in a boarding school in primary school. I was a day student, but it was a boarding school.
Yeah, I would have sent you away as well.
It's the as of yet untitled Stoneface Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films Podcast Friday edition, Spiritually Thursday. My name is John Hosier Byrne. With us, as always, is the Dr. Robotnik to our Vermilion Echidna. It's Rob O'Sullivan.
Hello.
How you doing, Rob?
Doing good.
Sonic. I got Sonic Mania yesterday.
Is it good?
Yeah, You know the whole thing behind Sonic Mania at all? New Sonic game that came out?
No, I had no idea.
So it's whereas Nintendo, if anyone makes a fan-made remake of their old games, they shut it down. Even YouTubers streaming their games, they tend to shut down a lot.
Yeah.
Sega takes a very different tack, and they hired all the people who made the best fan-made games of the old Sonic games on the Mega Drive. And they gave them the license, and they said, off you go. And they made this game called Sonic Mania, which is out now for Switch, Xbox One, and PS4 for €20.
Is it a 2D side-scroller again?
It was actually made on a specifically built computer to emulate the restrictions of the 32-bit era.
Oh, wow.
So it looks exactly like a Mega Drive game.
Nice.
It plays exactly like the old Mega Drive games. And it serves as sort of a reshuffle of all the best parts of those games with a bunch of new, very innovative, creative ideas thrown into it. And it really, really works. It's really fun.
I must fire up the old Mega Drive and see if you still got it.
Still
have my Larry Bird basketball game.
Oh, yeah, with that. Was it
Jordan versus Bird?
Yeah. I know exactly the one.
And I had,
that was like the first Electronic Arts game.
Well,
it's like
sure
the first EA game.
I was all over it.
Like one of the very early, I think the first three EA games was that game.
When I was 10, at Christmas, my parents said to me, look, we know you, the Santa thing's a bit of a, you know, bit of a joke. So here's the buy and sell.
The buy and sell?
Yeah, fucking love the buy and sell.
Not the Smith's catalogue,
buy and sell. Right. And, you know, find something you like. Ring the person, sort it out. So I rang this guy in Clark and I was like, hello, I'm 9 and I'd like to buy a Sega Mega Drive and 20 game pack. He's like, oh yeah, just a bunch of there and I own a car park. And so yeah, I got a lovely Sega Mega Drive with loads of games.
What was your favourite? This is, by the way, ladies
for
and gentlemen.
For £80!
Great. It's Ash Carlstein, screenwriter extraordinaire. How you doing, Ash? She's drinking a Bulmers.
I'm stopping my drinker now.
Are you doing well? You're happy?
I'm moist. Almost. But apart from that, and there's fucking little pesky flies.
There's a lot of wee fruit flies knocking around, all right.
Jeez.
And the stag's
head. I blame the incinerator. That's what I blame. And the foreigners.
So tell us, what was your favourite Mega Drive game of those games that you got?
Oh, Lord, let's see now.
Do you have, an Earthworm Jim? Do you have a Street Fighter?
I did have a Street Fighter. I was pretty great at the Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Street Fighter on the Mega Drive?
It was. Street Fighter 2, actually, excuse me, very much.
Dalasim, the boys.
It probably was Street Fighter because
Ridge Racer.
I only kind of had fellow friends at the time, and they only wanted to play Street Fighter, obviously.
Right. Road Rash?
Road Rash. I've had a Road Rash. but no, I didn't have that.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
Really good game.
I can't really remember. I had an Amstrad before that.
Really? Cool. Donna had an old...
cracking games on that.
What was it? A Spectrum.
Oh, cool.
She don't even
Spectrum
remember
way
those.
Back. Yeah.
There was a Commodore 64 as well. Yeah. Remember?
I have an Acorn computer in my attic that still works.
That's probably worth a bit.
Yeah, hopefully. Mm. But yeah, like I broke out my N64 there last week just to play around and playing some Pokemon Stadium.
Rogue Leader.
Yeah.
Rogue Leader. We were playing Rogue Squadron there on the N64 not so long ago. It was fantastic.
So good.
Really holds up. Well, yeah. I tell you what, the one on the GameCube really holds up. Rogue Leader.
Really, really good.
It was a superb game. It looks beautiful for its time. Like the Cloud City level in particular looks absolutely gorgeous. But listen, here. Moving away from the point. Welcome to the Stoneface Films Podcast, Ash. Thanks. You very much for being here. Second episode. Flying by.
Having a blast.
Tucking into that pint of Palmer's life.
Yep.
That might be what is attracting the fruit flies.
Might be, but they can feck off. I will fight to the death for it.
So, lads, any gossip? How was your break? Did you enjoy the mild break between then and now?
Yes, I did. I remember that over the weekend, I showed my 9-year-old nephew The Life of Brian. And was very excited about it and is still whistling the tune. So I'm very pleased about that.
That's lovely.
Yep.
That's very, very nice.
Yep. And also my mother, funnily, hadn't seen it. I thought, you know, we used to watch that in religion class. I thought it was
something... You watched The Life of Brian in religion class?
Yeah.
Oh, that would not have gone down well in my religion class.
Well, I went to a Protestant school, which was awesome.
There you go. There
so we had a great time.
I was
like, whatever.
Firmly Catholic school.
No, we had a great time.
Did not take The Life of Brian. Although we did watch the first episode of Rome in classics class, right up until the moment where there is a slave...
Is that a bit rapey?
Yeah, there was a slave with a gigantic knob.
Nice.
With a ribbon tied around
nice.
It. And he was being given as a present to a patrician lady. And then... the teacher was like, we should probably stop watching this, and turned it off. But I was like, come on, I want to see the rest of that knob.
It's like, better get home. Better get home to be by myself for a few minutes.
It was ludicrous. That was a good one. I enjoyed that. I loved classics, man, in school. It was my favourite. Classics and history were my favourite things.
You must have gone to a nice school.
It was a nice enough school, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People were all bollocks, but the school itself was nice.
Ah, well. Though they probably weren't in classics class. They were probably refined.
No, in classics class, it was me and three other hyper nerds who had petitioned.
Do you remember that weird thing we did, that they introduced in secondary school? Like CSPE.
Yeah.
And no one
Civics,
knew.
Yeah.
No one knew what the fuck it was about, including the teachers. They used to come in, they were like... Because they were blatantly from other classes, like your Irish teacher.
Gym teacher would come
and
in to
would
do
go,
SPHE as well.
It's funny what I am supposed to teach you here.
It's civics, it's like proportional representation.
But what the fuck?
And
like, they were like, I have no idea what we're supposed to talk about. They had no clue.
See, I don't really remember anything.
I remember we did an exam on it, but I don't
remember.
Yeah, for the
it was in
the
junior. How do you fail an exam?
It was in the junior.
It was not.
Yeah.
It was.
I got a C.
Go away.
And there was SPHE as well. Which
you got to see on your own opinion.
Yeah, I literally don't remember actually any classes for it.
No,
that
I don't. I think we just.
I remember there was an exam.
There.
But that's it.
It was the Leaving Cert results
What was the exam about? No, don't
just
remember.
Politics and
I remember at the end of
unfair.
The civics.
Yeah,
at the end of the civics paper, for the junior cert, it asked you to draw a picture of the of a world leader. It was actually...
That's unfair.
Yeah, and I
have drawing aids, so what do I do?
Yeah, drawing aids?
Yeah, and I don't mean like a help. Like what?
Like a model. So I drew a picture of... Because it was at the time of the first Iraq war. The second Iraq war, rather. And I was...
John's like, I'm going to find the most obscure political leader that no one else is going to put down.
No,
everyone else did fucking the president of the country.
I did George Bush... And I did him standing...
Did you just do a picture of a bush?
I did him standing over an American flag with his knee up over a canister of oil.
Okay, going with that.
You must be very talented.
No. It wasn't... I didn't say it was good. I said that's what I did, what I attempted. but sure, fuck it. It was CPS, CSP, whatever the fuck.
I don't know.
Yeah. And there was SPHE as well, which was basically...
SPHE?
Yeah,
what
that
the
was
fuck
an,
was
another
that?
Class. It was basically the class... It was clean behind your foreskin, the class.
Oh, I didn't do that class,
yeah.
obviously.
It's like health, social...
Social, personal
something
health.
Like
health
it does ring a little bell.
Yeah.
But then I was very lucky in that I lived in my school, so we would usually head off around 12 to watch Days of Our Lives.
Really?
And Sunset Beach.
Well, what school were you in? Were you in America? Were you in a boarding school?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
I was in Alexander College.
Ah.
Yeah, like up the road.
Right.
Not
right,
exactly
right.
Foreign.
I was in a boarding school in primary school. I was a day student, but it was a boarding school.
Yeah, I would have sent you away as well.
And it was so sad, man, because it was like, it was a school where there was like a lot of, it was an international school, the primary mm-hmm. school.
I know what you're talking about, actually, probably.
And yeah. There was like a lot of ambassadors, kids and stuff. It was the only school in the country that had a policy against kidnapping. Which you would imagine.
Surely every school should have that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe don't have to have it in writing.
As in, like please like, don't kidnap the other pupils.
No, they had like, if kidnapping happens, this is what we do.
Oh, and did they negotiate, I wonder?
Because they had a bunch of ambassadors kids. Yeah. So it was a bit loads of international, like of, there was Russian kids and loads of Chinese and kids and Mexican kids and Spanish kids. And... It was really sad because they were all in this boarding school, like, and they'd all like they were all children, like it was primary school.
Yeah, well, that's
so they'd
harsh.
All there'd you know, be a lot of like trying to hug the teacher, like a lot of that kind of thing, like just kids that are so starved for attention. It was a bit grim.
Oh,
big old
starting in.
I had a great time in school.
Big old Protestant castle.
Oh, I loved
like,
it.
Yeah.
I was like, woohoo, best time ever.
Fucking hated school.
Oh
man.
No, yeah, but you were seven. I was 12. I was experienced. Yeah, I knew the ways of the world at that
well,
stage.
Even when I was 12 and through to 18, I still really hated school.
Mm.
I really disliked it, but there you go.
Well, see, I joined all these things. I think I was on a squash team that I, you know, never played squash in my life. Mm-hmm. Badminton team, videography club, you know, all these things.
Videography club?
Yes.
That's rad.
In fact, I recently found... Oh, wait for this. I recently found footage, incriminating footage, of me, aged about 14, and two others... in our school uniforms, in the Temple Bar Music Centre, with Mundy having a big session. We filmed for about 2 hours, and we just went down and said, can we just hang out here and we'll just watch you? And he was like, yep. So they were just jamming or practising or some nonsense. And, Mundy, everyone. Mundy.
Boy, howdy. Oh, it's only Mundy. McMatt asks, if you ever get blocked creatively, I cannot imagine you do, what do you do to get back in the swing and get productive again? Coffee is a given. This is McMath's asking you.
I don't drink coffee because it... Well, I do drink coffee if I need to poo. And then I drink it. But generally, I'm not a caffeine-y person. I don't sit in Starbucks and lament and my laptop in front of me. If I get blocked, I swear a lot. And then I watch YouTube videos of some people gambling in Vegas. And I enjoy that.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Vegas Low Roller is one of my guys.
Vegas Low Roller?
Yeah, he basically just sits in casinos in Vegas and gambles, and I say, oh, I wish I was him. And then...
Right. What does he play, a blackjack?
No, just slots. I am a slot lover.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a dirty slot.
Dirty slot.
So...
So you would, when you go to Las Vegas, you just hit the slots?
Oh, just the slots.
Really?
I'm a screenwriter, I have no money. Where do you think I'm going with my fucking blackjack tables and my $10 minimum?
I've only been to a casino once. I've only gambled once, and it was when we were in Cannes. And I was like, oh, we're on, you know, in the French Riviera. Gotta go to a casino.
Did you go
like,
to the Nice casino?
No, it was just there. A casino that was in Cannes, and I had put on three bets. The first one was on.
Three bets. What, on a fucking, like, horse race?
No,
what are you talking about?
So I was in this casino, and there was a Stargate SG-1 slot machine.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, fucking
ooh,
bad.
I want to see it move!
So I immediately went and put in for the Stargate slot machine.
Okay.
Won 13 quid.
Ooh, very nice.
On, like, my first spin with Teal'c, because there was four
Did you accidentally
machines.
Bet right. the maximum?
I don't know what I did, but I won 13 quid anyway.
Oh, nice. Oh,
and then I went over to the roulette wheel.
Oh, no.
And it was a €5 minimum bet.
Yeah.
And I put €5 on black, and I looked up at David and said, always bet on black. And it hit red, and I lost my €5.
So never bet on black.
I had the other €5, and I put it on black, and I turned to David, and I went, always bet on black. And it was red again. And then
wow,
I left.
Those are
the
really
casino.
Bad odds.
Yeah.
Those are terrible odds for you. Yeah. That's a bad
you
day.
You left with €3?
Left with €3.
Well,
pure
look, you're up.
Profit.
Then you're up.
Pure profit.
You're up.
So yeah, and I got to see a Stargate slot machine. So you know, winning across the board.
No, blocked creatively.
So do you just watch footage of someone doing slots?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the kids that watch other people play fucking computer games. And yes. I sit there and I say to my nephew, you big fucking weirdo. So scoot aside while I watch some guy in Vegas play a slot machine, because that's different. No, I don't do that all the time, because then I'd have an issue, clearly.
I occasionally will watch people play video games online. I do really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do. There's something about, you know, I mean, individual personalities shining through.
Well, the nice thing about the gambling one is that you're not actually spending any money.
Right.
So at least then you're like, you know, I get the bells and whistles without actually having to spend anything because I'm too fucking
That's
cheap.
That's bizarre, but I don't understand what the appeal is if you can't win the money.
Because you're seeing someone else having a great old time.
Right.
So I'm a very, you know, empathetic, happy person. And I'm like, oh, look, he's having a ball. Good for him. He's had a great time. I'm not a begrudger. I'm not like, oh, fucking bastard, he's 1,000 euro. I'm so sickened.
You don't get video. You're not a video game person.
I'm not really. I'm just very lazy. So I'm too lazy to be a video game player.
To be active within the media.
I'm so unactive, I can't even play video games.
Right.
Yep. So I just...
Donna's getting fierce good at Mario Kart, lads.
Oh, really?
Mario Kart.
Nice and sharp about Mario Kart.
On which system now is this?
On the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, the new thing.
Yeah, it's lovely. The one you brought over to your place. It is simultaneously a handheld thing and a non-handheld thing.
Do you do it on the
thing.
Toilet, or do you just do it in real life?
Well, you certainly could if you wanted to. That's the joy of the handheld.
You'd be there for ages, though. These handheld things, though, I'm not sure.
Oh, I love a handheld. It's great.
I'm not sure about them.
No, the Nintendo Switch, I really like. It's really, really well-engineered piece of machinery.
It's big, though. It's not pocket size.
It's big,
for sure.
But the controller is split into two controllers, and it's just...
Yeah, I only saw it there when Jim brought it over last week.
It's a beautifully engineered piece of equipment. I really like it. So. Yeah. I do think so. Did anyone watch, by any chance, and I hate to take a nosedive here, but did anyone watch the Vice documentary, Charlottesville Race and Terror?
Yes, it was horrifying.
It's unbelievable,
isn't
it? Oh,
was that with the girl with the glasses?
Yeah.
Blondie girl?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, sure. Par for the course, lads. What do you expect?
Nazis are par for the course.
American Nazis, yeah.
I would not have thought par for the course. I would have thought that it's a really exceptional moment in Western civilization.
But they're always there. Like, they were never not there.
No, I 100% agree. Yeah. They've always been there, but
they've never had this platform or sympathetic ear in the White House.
Emboldened and have the
structure
of the internet
the
to organise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real... Yeah. Real heartbreaker, man.
It does. It would suck to be living in the States now and have to kind of go along with that as your, this is my government, everyone. Yeah, it would be awful.
It's unbelievable. I couldn't imagine it, really, truthfully.
No. Go for
it. How much of your life do you reckon you spend in bed?
About 75% of it.
Well, the normal person...
Oh, right, okay, you meant...
spend a third.
Jeez, you'd want to be comfortable if you're spending a third of your life somewhere.
I agree, you would. And you know what? You'd want to make sure that the thing that was providing that comfort was ethically and sustainably sourced. With that in mind, you want to be comfortable, you want to be ethical, you want White and Green. It's a brand that you can really trust. This is luxury cotton bed sheets and bedding products that are made to last and that do not come with a luxury price tag. White and Green is one of the world's first organic fair trade cotton bedding companies. And their debut range contains the likes of bed linen, cotton throws, baby blankets and scarves in a variety of classic colours. They're 100% fair trade certified, guaranteeing safe labour practices and fair wages for all of their farmers and workers. Why not go now to whiteandgreen.ie/stoneface, and when you do choose to purchase, and I highly recommend that you do, use the promo code STONEFACE. Get you 15% off your first purchase. Highly recommended from the Stoneface Films podcast.
Sleep well.
Right, so Anon asks,
Is it time
to start a petition to end the cruel and barbaric suffering unnecessarily inflicted on the Irish?
What?
Is it true you can only buy salty popcorn in Irish cinemas? Why is there not protest movements to get all the flavours cinema and the rest of the world sell, you poor, poor people?
Can you not just buy popcorn and put salt on it?
That's the thing. It's you can only buy salty popcorn in Irish cinemas.
Oh.
I think Cineworld are doing sweet ones now.
Yeah, they do like candy ones or toffee ones or something. Yeah, and
you can always get a toffee popcorn.
I've never bought popcorn from cinema.
I think this is like a cheesy popcorn or a, you know. Like a powder
like a
or something,
sauce over it?
Yeah, something. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
That's a bit much.
That's very dirty. Like
maybe the rest of the world
has it wrong.
You
would be there on a date with your hands down a cheesy popcorn.
Loading a parmesan onto your corn.
No.
Well, you'd never even get like a butter really on a corn.
Reeking.
Some
here.
Places do. I think the Odeon does. But that's
The Odeon do a hot butter, but you have to ask for it.
Yeah.
They don't put it on by default.
No. I'm not a popcorny person purely because those little shitty kernels get stuck in your teeth.
If you're going to the cinema now, because you're a movie person.
Yep.
What's your order?
Goat little. buy a few mini wines.
Mini
put them
wines.
In the pocket. Put them in the pocket.
Mini wines.
And then. They have loads of sweeties there, and they've nice chewy sweeties, and you can just shove them in your pocket. And the Odeon gets so pissed off because they know you've been to fucking Lidl right next door, mm-hmm. and they're looking at you going, "Do you have any sweets?" And you're going, "Nope." And your pockets are bursting. You know, you're like 10 stone heavier. You're so loaded down with sweets. And they're like, "Are you sure?" "Yep, nothing."
So I go to the cinema. I usually get a nacho. I get a nacho with the cheese. You know, the liquid, disgusting cheese.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Gets a crust on it almost as soon as it's poured. And one time, said this on the podcast.
Do they pour it in front of you, though? Because I'd want it poured in front of me. I don't want some yolk that's been sitting there someone's had their way with.
In the Odeon in Stillorgan, they'll pour the cheese.
Okay, well, that's something.
In front of you.
Out of a dispenser.
Out of a cheese
dispenser.
A viscous dispenser. You're right. You're absolutely right. But one time, like maybe 5 years ago, on the way to the cinema, I tripped and knocked over all my... Have I saw this before on the podcast? I'm sure I have. And my nachos went flying all over the cinema.
I thought you meant your teeth. I was going to say, Martin knocked my teeth and now my nachos,
I'll tell you a story actually about my teeth now in a second, my nachos went flying and I went back. I was like, I spilled my nachos. Have some more free nachos, please? And they were like, yeah, I guess.
No,
they gave me more
nachos.
And the guy who works there now...
Spilled my nachos.
Literally every single time I go into Stillorgan Cinema, which is frequently, he goes, "Hey, nachos," or "Don't forget your nachos," every single time I've been in there for 5 years.
Does he think you're special? Maybe a little tiny?
I don't know. He wouldn't be the first person to make that error.
Look, if you get free nachos...
This is it.
Work with it.
I know you were dying to hear about my teeth story.
Yeah, bring it on.
So let me tell you.
Was it like these dreams that everyone has about their teeth falling out?
No,
everyone has those. So get
I was
yourself.
At the dentist the other day getting a filling, and it was the last of my fillings that I needed to get.
Is that the only time you're quiet?
Says you. Says you, Ashikarasi. And they gave me the injection. You know, all the previous ones were at the top teeth.
Oh, no, they injected you. Oh, no.
Yeah, when they have the bottom tooth, it's like a much bigger nerve.
Because they have to do your tongue and your gums.
They have to numb the whole jot of you, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas previously they were just giving me the little pinchy and I was fine, this they gave me the little pinchy, they started drilling, I was like, that hurts loads, right? So they took that away. They were like, okay, well, we're going to try this other...
Did you use hand signals or...
Yeah, well, saw my legs fucking jump out of the seat. Yeah. Like, I nearly flew out of the thing. So they were like, all right, we're going to have to give you this other one, which I can't remember what it's called, but it has adrenaline in it. It's like a...
An injection?
Like in an injection. So it like thins the blood so that the numbing agent works faster.
I'm pretty sure they're making this shit up, but yeah, go on.
So they injected me with this thing with adrenaline. They shot it in.
Right.
They gave it a few minutes, started drilling again, jumped out of my seat really, really sore. It's like, okay, this is going to need more. We repeat this process. This is after the initial injection. 3 more times.
Jesus Christ.
So they're pumping me. At the end of it, they're like, I guess you just need a whole another one of these and like pump me full of this stuff with adrenaline in it, right? I was in the
tingling.
Chair. My hands were shaking. Like I was...
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
My hands were fucking shaking, right? This is only on Thursday or something. Wow.
But were you ready to rob a bank? You were so ready.
They did the drill. They did the drilling. Right. And I was like, okay. Yeah, and I was fine. And I left and I paid and I walked out. And I swear to God, I've never had an experience like
really?
It. Like in my own little head. Like my eyes couldn't focus on
it. In
anything.
A good way or no?
It actually wasn't super pleasant, to be honest with you. But it was sort of, I called Donna. I was like, Donna, I'm fucking gee-eyed on adrenaline.
Let's do it.
And like, I
Brace
couldn't.
Yourself.
I couldn't see anything. And I was, she
John
was like,
Snow is coming.
Take some time before you drive home. Said to drive home. And I couldn't focus my eyes on any objects.
Oh.
So I went into the Eddie Rockets. I was talking. Oh, my heart's beating out of my chest. Yeah. I go into the Eddie Rockets or the Rockets just on water, like
to calm yourself.
Waterloo Road.
This will calm me.
I go like, sodium. Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna get a milkshake.
Give
right?
us a Coke.
Because you know, as soon as you're done, the dentist, you want cold liquid ice cream
straight into your face.
No. Yeah, yeah. So no. I go in and because I'm fucking buzzing, I'm off right. my tits, and I go in and I have a debate with the girl in Eddie Rockets for like 20
oh,
minutes.
No, over, you all academic on her.
No, just over what was the best type of milkshake that they sold.
The one that brings all the boys to the yard, clearly.
And, like, we just debated it for, like, 20 minutes, and then we talked about, like, the Rocky Horror Picture Show for ages, because I was just out of my tits.
Sounds drunk, like.
I was just... I sound like I yeah. was out of... I was absolutely out of
Gosh.
My face.
And where can you get this stuff?
Took my Kinder Bueno milkshake, which, by the way, we finally
no
settled
way.
Is the best milkshake.
It is delicious.
Is that such a thing?
Yeah, man.
No.
Kinder Bueno milkshake is unbelievable.
I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, and then drove back very slowly because I couldn't really see anything in front of me. But I've never had an experience like that in my life. I was
I've never
buzzing.
Heard of adrenaline and injections in your teeth.
Yeah,
that sounds
it was
a bit
mad.
Strange.
But I was literally, like, I couldn't stop shaking. My full body was rattling. Like,
yeah.
It was an interesting experience,
yeah.
But there you go. Here, let's take another question. What are your thoughts on Seth MacFarlane's Orville, Star Trek Discovery, and the proposed Galaxy Quest series? Sci-fi Palooza or Nerd Bust?
I've only seen...
Well-phrased question.
...like, images of this Orville thing. I don't know really what it is, if it's a spoof or...
It's a spoof of Star Trek, yeah.
Who's Orville supposed to be?
Orville,
it's
the
name of
the
ship.
And it's like Seth MacFarlane's new live-action Star Trek spoof.
Well, that'll be great.
You're not a Star Trek person.
I did. I watched the original, and then... No, not the original, obviously, because I'm not that old.
You mean Next Generation?
Yeah. And, you know, number one was a bit of a hottie for a while.
Riker. God damn it.
A little bit. Why,
You'd
you,
love my
did
Halloween
you have a
boy costume.
Crush on him?
Boy, howdy. Every year, Riker.
Really?
Easily done.
It's like, got a beard, tick.
Yeah.
Have a Star Trek outfit, tick.
Yup.
Yep.
End of list.
I have,
End of
I
list.
I have Star Trek Next Generation pajamas, which are like the...
I hope I never see those. Love you, but I hope I never see those. Good
go,
God.
With the beard, full Riker, you'd love it, Ash. Don't deny yourself the aesthetic pleasures.
I'll have to have several more Palmers.
I wouldn't
several
blame
more.
You. I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah, Riker, he was quite nice.
Who was it who signed on to do the Galaxy Quest? Oh, Paul Scheer.
Paul Scheer's going to do it, so I think that could be actually
Quest.
Really good.
Paul Scheer is fantastic, and I have huge time for him.
Galaxy Quest, is the film is genius.
Galaxy also, Quest 3 or 4?
No, there was just one.
Just the
oh,
one.
Yeah,
with
sorry.
With Tim
I'm
Allen
mixing
and Sigourney
up with
Weaver. And
yeah. Terrible film.
So
Alan Rickman.
Oh yeah, that was years old.
Yeah, but that was that. A lot of Star Trek people consider that like an unofficial Star Trek film.
Better than the reboots.
I lived with a Star Trek person for 2 weeks.
That's true.
That's
you
true.
Lived with Kirk's
the
wife,
the Bride of Vulcan,
Bride of
the
Spock.
Vulcan Bride or whatever it was called. Yeah,
the woman who played Spock in
Spock's
or
wife.
Spock's wife. Yeah,
yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That was interesting.
And she was mad. Do you want to talk about it or?
Well, she has passed on. So
oh, really? Okay.
I will speak about her in glowing terms, in that I won't speak about her.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That is very fair. I love that Star Trek Discovery is coming to Netflix outside of the US, which is fantastic. They're doing the Rick and Morty season 3 thing of just doing episode by episode.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I couldn't be more psyched about it. And yeah, talking about podcast recommendations, Paul Scheer's podcast, How Did This Get Made? Talking about bad movies. It's one of my favorite podcasts of all time.
Oh, I have heard of that before, yes.
It's really, really superb.
Yep.
And you should absolutely check it out. But yeah, he's kind
of like Men of Honor. Never been made.
Men of Honor?
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Not,
worst
not
film
familiar.
Ever. Actually, wrote a thesis about how bad it was. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's gas. Rob, you have any opinions on either of those three properties?
I think Galaxy Quest should be good. I'm looking forward to Discovery, and I can pass on Orville because Seth MacFarlane is the worst.
He's well. I like American Dad a lot. American Dad's very
same,
funny.
But it's better than Family Guy anyway.
I like it. Roger makes the show, you know, as a character. But, I'll definitely give Orville a go. But it doesn't look the most incredible thing. In fact, it looks shite. But I would love it to be great. Discovery, in a very similar vein, looks shite, but I would love it to be great.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's decent, at least.
CBS, expect my spec script any minute now for season 2. Because... Love. If there was one show I could write for, it'd be Star Trek, without a shadow of a doubt. Or Rick and Morty would also be
Star
great.
Trek, Next Generation.
Just Star Trek. I would love to just write for a Star Trek property. I would, like, And I mean, you know,
I heard Dade is an asshole. I'm sad about that. I'm sad.
He wasn't super nice to me, now I will say, but listen, you never know. Proud Smartass asks, Boff, marry or kill, beans edition. Okay.
Like baked beans?
Yeah. Bachelors, oh. Heinz, insert third option here. I don't know if there's a
well,
third
I have
option
to
of beans.
Have would... bachelors because my lovely man is obsessed with buying Irish and he does all the shopping.
Amen.
So I leave him to
fair
it.
Fair play to him.
He gets, I bought Marks and Spencer ham the other day and he threw a wobbler. What are you doing bringing this British ham into the house? We've got Irish ham, perfectly fine. I said, whatever, dude.
To be fair. Irish meat is the best meat.
It is the best meat. It is the best meat. But I actually just didn't give a shit. that day, just needed a bit of ham.
I love Eamon's patriotism. And he's a Liverpool fan. What more could a man
he's
want?
He's only a patriot when it comes to Irish food, you know, which is weird. But
Eamon
that's fine.
Is... You're doing super well with Eamon.
I know,
you know that?
Total catch.
He is a lovely man.
I
he's
know
an
that.
Absolutely gorgeous, know gorgeous
it.
Man. And from what I hear, a sensitive and caring lover.
Yeah. No. Who'd you hear that from?
You at the wedding.
Jesus.
You were gee-eyed.
Oh, yeah.
And he was totally. Dancing. I would always go Heinz beans now, personally, because bachelors to me taste shitty.
Beans are gross, so I'm bowing out of gross. This. So
yeah,
well, I have to pour a little bit of the juice out for because I find they're a little bit overjuiced.
Do
you know, they're like half the fucking baseball teams now. Just they're a little bit overjuiced. So I dejuicify them first.
You dejuicify them.
Cheesy beans is a thing now, isn't it?
Cheesy beans. Oh,
for the posh. They lash a bit of cheese onto beans.
How posh. How posh indeed.
Well, look, my cooking skills aren't the best, so I would think that's pretty exciting.
Anon asks, if you could choose only one, which would you rather? A life in the city, a life by the sea, or a life in the mountains?
I kind of have two of those, a little bit.
You kind of have two?
Well, I'm by the sea, sort of in the city, and I kind of... You know, I'm 10-minute drive from the city centre by the sea. So that's quite lovely. I'm from the country, so I do like the country. But I think when you live in the city, you're a little bit spoiled for things, yeah. You know, amenities and things. So it's hard to go back to, I live in a house in the middle of nowhere. And then, oh shit, it's an hour drive to get a pint of milk.
Yeah.
So as much as that sounds nice in theory, nah.
I love the country, man. I love living
I love
the
visiting
country.
The country, but it might be hard to live there.
Down the country by the sea.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what you
but
want.
Winter in Ireland. Christ, miserable. Kill
yeah,
yourself.
But you're... Why
although
does it matter whether you're in the city? I'd much rather be in winter in the country than winter in the city, where it's grey and wet and slippery and everyone's crowded and soaked. I'd much rather be in a lovely wee cottage.
I'd much rather
down
be
by
Spain.
The sea. Well, that's
just Ryanair. Thanks very much. See ya. With all the Brits having chips and egg. And pints for breakfast.
That nationalism.
Hey guys, it's Rob here. This is just a quick ad to tell you that my album, The Cooper Church Amendments All Things Must Pass, is available to listen to and buy over on Bandcamp for just €7. I wrote and recorded the whole thing in my little home office, and it's really exciting that I get to share it with everybody. It's a super personal album dealing with self-expression, mental health, social issues, and friendships. So go to thecooperchurchamendment.bandcamp.com to check it out, have a listen, buy if you like it, and tell your friends, and I really, really hope that you enjoy it.
We've got some specific questions for you, Ash.
From who?
The first question, genuinely, and I think this is staggering considering that the first episode didn't go out live or anything, so I'm amazed that this has come in.
Okay.
Would you fancy writing a Conor McGregor life story starring Conor McGregor?
Yeah, if he was putting up the money, I absolutely would. I would write the nicest story ever and it would be amazeballs.
That's a very good point, though. Yep. There's definitely...
Oh, shit, yeah. I'm no fool.
There'll be that film, like. That yeah. film will happen within 10 years.
That's going to be pure propaganda.
Yeah. How will it end, though?
That's a very good question.
His face sideways across his face, you know, his nose across his face. Because
he's still got
Floyd
a good
Mayweather.
Few years oh. left in him. Lad's fighting MMA.
He doesn't need it. He's fucking minted. Why does he need to keep going? He should just head
he
off.
He spends
now.
Money like he makes it.
Yeah, that's true.
He's yeah, now but I
he's
don't
got a,
know
he's got
man
a bad
personally.
Old now, so he needs to sort himself out, cop himself on. A bit
just enter the
himself.
Feature film business, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah. Look.
So you're
whoever
up for
you
that,
are,
basically.
Yep. If you're Donald Trump and you want to beautiful biopic. Send me an email. No problem.
Did you ever see the Art of the Deal film starring Johnny Depp?
No, I didn't. I may have read the book years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my dad had loads of weird books.
Well, sure, he's never read it anyway, so.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, I'm sure. Pretty bad. It was just a lot of one-liners, I think, as is his bag.
I mean, it can't be long now. Ryan Priebus gone, Bannon gone. It was the most amazing fucking tweet I ever saw. It was a picture of Steve Bannon like the day before he got fired.
Oh.
You know, with the big sort of welt on his
mouth. Looks like he's melting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
The gout is taking over.
And the comment was, looks like that statue they tore down was his second to last Horcrux.
Well,
which I
thought was... Should they get payouts? I'm sure they do, which is quite nice.
Yeah, they probably got severance.
Yeah, I'd like severance from Donald. I'd stay with Donald to get severance from him.
Okay, so here's another question for you, Ash. Recent script that you would have loved to have worked on?
Ooh.
So a film you would
seen,
have loved to have
I haven't
written.
Seen The New Twin Peaks.
Nor have
so
I,
so I can't say what that is like. But I would have really... I did love the original. I mean, it was bonkers, let's be honest. So I would have loved to have written that. And then... When I've got a couple of friends in LA who are proper writers who get paid for it, and one of them is a
a proper writer. Actually.
Well, I don't get paid for it, so no. So he teaches in UCLA, and he's obviously got loads of great people that have come and gone, and one of his former students writes Better Call Saul.
Wow.
Yeah, cool. And he often posts up pictures with her, and she's all delighted with herself because she wrote Better Call Saul, and I am quite envious of that. So I would have loved to have worked on something.
You
like
need
that.
Be envious of no one, Ash.
Well, I can work. Be at the moment. I'll get there in the end, but I can be a little bit envious. I can be a little bit envious.
Well, sure. Look, no need, man. You write some really accomplished stuff.
Thanks.
I don't know. I'm trying to think now if there was a script that I would have loved to have been involved in. I loved. I know we debated before. One of the first times we ever went drinking, I think, or not one of the first times, but
was
a while
a few.
Ago, we I was talking about how much I loved American Hustle.
No.
And you fucking hated American Hustle, as I recall.
That's because I had got tit in my eye for 2 hours. I said, if I see another pokey nipple coming through a top,
yeah,
I will
there was a lot
walk
of that,
out of here.
Actually. Was that your
you
main...
Know, I couldn't move for nipples.
and you're usually very nipple-friendly.
Well, I see nipples all the time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I've no problem with nipple, but just not in every shot.
Right.
You know, when it's, like, flying around the place and I'm trying to concentrate the words and I'm like, could that girl just fix her fucking top? Because her tits are spilling out of it and it's just side boob, side boob, side boob.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what happened in the fucking film because I was too annoyed with everything else. So, no, I wasn't that excited about Hustle. But I can see why you like it because it was, you know, it was clever. It was clever.
That's sweet of you to say.
Yeah,
that
it was
you
a
suppose
clever.
That's why. I that's sweet of you to make the supposition that it wasn't a nipple-based enjoyment.
Well, that too.
Yeah. No,
well, we're talking about script, so I don't know how many nipples appeared in the script.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
But that, for instance, is, you know, for me was the death knell of, like, if you saw into Star Trek Into Darkness.
I've heard it wasn't good.
It certainly wasn't, but there was an unnecessary underwear shot out of nowhere.
Oh.
That the writers later apologised for.
Really?
Like, it was so out of place and exploitative. Yeah. I mean, that's just one example that jumps to mind. But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's some scenes of nudity and stuff like that when they're done in such a way that desexualized, the nude form is desexualized. Like, there was Sarah Silverman was in a film not so long ago, and she was in a naked shower scene with a bunch of other women and just having a conversation naked in the shower, and it was all like, you know,
yeah,
big,
I don't
big
mind
old,
it.
Big old,
it doesn't bother me, but it's just when it seems to be the entire film.
No, but I mean, just for this specific example, it was like big old bushes and,
oh,
you know,
right.
It was not a sexy scene whatsoever.
Okay,
like, it was
so
just
you're
the
like,
human
what,
form.
What are we seeing?
But I so prefer that. I so prefer something which exposes the animal, you know what I mean, and doesn't view it along specifically or something that perhaps presents the human form as something other than the male gaze.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see a sex scene where a woman is, like, bristly legs, for instance, mm-hmm. and, you know, oh, look, I've just waxed my vagina, how fortuitous that we're having sex, even though I live in a fucking trailer. Like, come on.
How fortuitous. You really know how to write sexy dialogue.
Yeah.
How fortuitous. I've waxed my vagina. What is, I have another question for you, dream script for a future project. If you could do, like Star Trek would be mine, right? I would love to write the next series of Star Trek. Would there be something like that for you?
I don't know. I think because I'm still trying to find what genre I really like. Mm-hmm. So I've written scripts in, you know, horror, sci-fi, drama, comedy. I love comedy. I think it's really hard to do a brilliant comedy.
Ah, you're very funny, though.
I am hilarious. but I love old comedies like Ruthless People and, you know the silly stuff from the 80s that they don't really do anymore. That was sort of... It was very clever.
Yeah.
Now the it's apartment. A lot of, you know, fart jokes and, you know, nudity and
it's a
stuff.
Lot of two shots in comedy. Like, there's no movement in comedy anymore. Yeah, it's people sitting down across
like
the
Steve
table.
Steve Martin wouldn't get a job anymore.
Right.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
And I love that physical comedy.
Exception, like an Edgar Wright. Like, he does comedy in a very cinematic way, which eludes a lot of comedic films, you know what I mean? But a lot of, like, even the ones that... Perfect example, sure, we were... My cousin was around the other day, and he was texting his friend at the same time while he was sat there. And he was like... His friend was like, my five-year-old wants to watch Step Brothers. He keeps going on about Step Brothers.
Really?
Should I let him watch Step Brothers? And I think my cousin was like, I can't remember what he said, go for it or something. And apparently, because there's full-on sex scenes in Step Brothers. Yeah, like Amy Poehler riding in a bathroom.
Not suitable.
But apparently the five-year-old went into apoplexy at the balls on the drum kit sequence.
Yeah.
Like, he was mainlining comedy for the first time. And he was, like, having a wee stroke on the ground, like, having a seizure. But, yeah, no, apart from, you know, but you look at, like... Mm-hmm. The Judd Apatow-y sort of comedies, they're shot reverse shot, dialogue. There's nothing particularly cinematic about them.
I'm not mad keen on those. I'll be honest.
What was your sci-fi script? I don't think I read your sci-fi script.
Oh, it was. To be honest, it was basically I needed a sci-fi for my portfolio.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I just came up with some nonsense.
What was it about? Please tell me.
It's post-apocalyptic and. It's the world has been ravaged by a virus, the usual shite.
Right.
And there's only kind of an island left, and the island has been sort of run by this sort of despot, who is who has erected electric sort of force field around the entire island.
Okay.
So you can't get in or out, and it's been like this for, you know, 20 years, and no one knows anything outside of. The island, but outside of just sort of off the mainland, there's a little colony of people who had blood resistant to the virus, who they were going to try and find a vaccine from. Mm-hmm. But actually, it turned out that it wasn't really happening for them, so they just sort of left them. Mm-hmm. So then they find a vaccine, and there's a war veteran who, you know, used to be in the war, and he's the main character, and he sort of he leads the colony of exiles to a different place, and they end up hitting the north of Scotland, and it turns out that actually the virus was contained and it was sorted out within 3 months, and that basically the whole world is fine and they've been living on their own for fucking forever. So
I like
it wasn't great, I'll be honest. It wasn't great, but I can at least say I have sci-fi now, so something.
So if you had a dream project, like I'd love to write a Winnie the Pooh film, for instance.
Oh.
I'd love to write that. I'd love to write a Star Trek. Is there any similar ones that you'd like to...
I would love to write a really cool horror. No. Like, The Shining was a really cool horror. Mm-hmm. There's very few brilliant horror films.
Right.
That, you know, nowadays it's all low-budget scare films.
Is Annabelle the name of the new one with the doll?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, there's dolls. Yeah, there's dolls and there's woods. There's people running around woods and there's teenagers who are getting naked and having sex and getting killed. And
to paraphrase Kimmy Schmidt, it's amazing what people who haven't been kidnapped find scary.
Well, this is it. So, there hasn't been a really clever, brilliant horror film in a long time. Yeah. I mean, there's been a few good ones.
If you could have a franchise, say, we'll do it that way. Mm. Say if you could now get, you have the license to a pre-existing film or franchise, what one do you choose? You could have anything. You could do the next Top Gun film.
I'd give James Bond a whirl.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I would not have seen that coming.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Would you make any changes, or would you have D. Craig back?
I don't mind him. I loved Roger. Loved Roger. Didn't like Sean, cunt.
The misogyny of it not bother you? Like,
not at all. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. Come on. My dad's from East Wall. How could I be against it? No, it's great. Sure, it's great fun.
You see, I find the old... Personally, I find the old James Bond, you know, structure of... First woman he sleeps with dies. Second woman he sleeps with, you know, is the bad guy.
Yeah, I might change that side of things. Mm-hmm. I might, like, shake it up a little bit. But I'm not going to have a female James Bond.
I'd love a female James Bond.
No.
Why not?
No, because it's not James Bond.
But sure.
No.
What's the difference?
Look at Ghostbusters. Enough said. The end. Mic drop. No. Look, let him be. Just let James Bond be. Let him be himself.
I've had a blast. Thank you so much. Ash, thank you so much for being here. I hope you had fun.
Thanks. If anyone wants to send a check, give details on the site or whatever.
Do you have a website, Ash?
No. No website, no Twitter, no Facebook. Oh, no, I do have Facebook. Yeah.
Well, Ash Carstein on Facebook, why not?
Yeah.
And I get in touch.
Google me, fuckers. Send a check.
Ash Carstein, everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
Or a relic.
Much appreciated.
Take relics. No problem. Bye, guys.
Oh, gosh. The relic reference was before we started recording.
I'll give it a rub.
And thank you very, very much to the Dr. Robotnik, to our Vermilion Echidna, Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Bye, everybody.
My name has been John Hosier Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night.
This episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by the fine people over at patreon.com/stonefacefilms. I first want to thank our top lads, Anna, Abby Dessert, Mandy Taylor, Terry Peterson, Therese Smout, McMath, Laura Conway and Rebecca Hieronymy. Next, the Ensigns, the Tom Parrises on the USS Best Friends, Charles D. Kirkman, Megan Noble, Lucy Wilkerson, Jamie Pomerleau, Jess Angell and Sam Sweeney Sia. Space! And a huge thank you to our Knight of the Sainsbury's car park, Sir Alice, guarding the Sainsbury's from the dangers of dragons and loiterers. And a huge thank you to my small council for when I take the throne, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umlad, Dawn Smith, and the Varus in the Shadows who wishes not to be named. Thank you so much for your continued support. And finally, a huge thank you to the stars and the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, shining above us, engorged in the heavens. Thank you to Lisa Cohen, the Goblin Child, Lizzie, John Oldman Byrne, and those who wish not to be named. Thank you so, so much for your support. We couldn't do this show without you. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.